What a great gift it is to share in this Christmas morning with all of you today. One of the things that I've been graced with over the last month is learning a new word. And this new word helps us to more fully understand the meaning of the Christmas season. So here is the word. The word is deification. And here's what the word deification means. We are made in God's image and likeness. We're not made in the image and likeness of the earth. We aren't made in the image and likeness of our riches. We're not made in the image and likeness of our careers. Indeed, we are not made in the image and likeness of our spouses and our children, essential though family and romance is for the flourishing of human life. No. We are made to become godly, and only God can fulfill our human thirst for perfection. And this true perfection, this growth that is to be ours, is a growth of transformation as we grow in union with God Himself. From the 2nd to the 7th century, there are a series of Christian theologians and writers that we call the early church fathers. And the fathers were absolutely enamored and taken with this theme of our deification. One of the first church fathers to write about this was named Saint Irenaeus, who lived in the late first, early second centuries. And listen to what he says about this idea, yours and my deification. The Son of God came what we are in order to make us what he is himself. He became what we are to make us what he is. A contemporary of Saint Irenaeus was a man by the name of Saint Clement of Alexandria. And he put it this way. The Word of God became man, so that you too may learn from a man how it is possible for a man or a woman to become God. 100 years after Saint Clement of Alexandria, there was Saint Athanasius of Alexandria. One of the creeds we say is the Nicene Creed. And the origins of the Nicene Creed were established at a council in Nicaea in the year 325. And Saint Athanasius was one of the key theologians at that council. And he puts it so succinctly. This is Saint Athanasius's definition of deification. God became a man so that men and women could become God. Each of these writers celebrated that the human person has the capacity to freely and personally receive God's own life, to live by the promptings of the Holy Spirit. They saw that you and I are frontier creatures. Like the angels, we are immortal, but like the brute beasts, like my dog, who is a beautiful Bichon Frise, but he is a brute beast, we also have these bodies in which we experience life. St. Gregory Nazianzus, who lived in the 4th century, he said that you and I are hybrid creatures, for like the creatures of the earth, we can move and enjoy the material creation even when it's minus 26. And indeed, there's something special about it being minus 26 in Christmas. You feel that it's Christmas Day. But we are also joined to the angels in heaven. And because of that, we can resemble the divine in how we think and we conduct our lives. There is no theology outside of the Catholic Church and the fullness of Christian revelation that understands this profound idea that one day Deacon Stephen is going to be, well, not God, but he's going to be like God. Isn't that amazing?
Quite amazing.
Pope St. John Paul II, on the feast of the baptism of the Lord, gave his Angelus address on the 11th of January in the year 2004. And what's quite beautiful about this to consider is that this is Pope St. John Paul II within a year of his own death. And he was reflecting back on Christmas, and Pope St. John Paul II said that when we celebrate the great event of the Incarnation, we are invited to keep our gaze fixed on Jesus, the human face of God and the divine face of man. Isn't that lovely? Jesus, the human face of God and the divine face of man. This is the heart of the Christmas story, that in Jesus we see the human face of God, so that in the words from today's gospel, that famous verse, verse 12 of chapter 1 of St. John, to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of God, but we have been born of God. In the reading that we had from Hebrews, this is put so beautifully. It says here that Jesus is the reflection of God's glory, the exact imprint of God's very being. Ah, we see the human face of God. But he's also the one who sustains all things by his excellent word. And you and I are invited to be caught up in this reality, to be caught up in this story. But God is willing to take such a risk. Because in that same passage from the first chapter of John, it says that he came to those who were his own and his own received him not. We can reject what is our vocation. We can reject our destiny. Because in a world like this, it's hard to believe that what I'm saying is true. It just seems to be too good. Is it possible? Hundreds of years before the coming of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah, writing to a people who were in a very difficult and precarious time, wanted them to see beyond the confines of their current situation, where they were in exile in a place called Babylon, what we would call modern-day Iraq. And he was wanting them to see, you're going to go to Jerusalem. And when you get there, the city is going to be in ruins. There will be no more temple, that you're going to have to rebuild your lives. But in the way that he so poetically expresses, he wanted to stir them up to see beyond their circumstances and the particular reality of a city in ruins. And so he sang, listen, you watchmen, lift up your voices. Together they sing for joy. For in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem. For God has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The other day I went to a senior's residence to visit a man who had ALS. This man had only been diagnosed with ALS back in September. Prior to that, he was living a normal life. But now he could not talk. He could not walk. He was completely dependent on other people. And part of the reason why I went to see him, he was wondering, is it worth continuing to try to live with this kind of progressive disease? Indeed, in his person, in his body was in ruins. But as I had the opportunity to talk with this man, I was able to talk with him about heaven. I was able to talk a little bit about what Isaiah was trying to say so long ago, that yes, your body is in ruins, But God is preparing you for an eternity where you will become like God. It's so hard to believe in a world like this, isn't it? In a world where there is such pain, in a world where COVID just seems to keep on going. We thought, well, we've got this under control, and then Omicron shows up. It's into a world like this that God comes. And it's into a world like this that Isaiah also sings. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. This is good news. This is good news during the bad news of COVID, that you are intended one day not to become God, but to become like God. St. John, in his first letter, was so clear on this that he wrote the following: Beloved brothers and sisters, we do not yet know who we will become. But we know that when we see Jesus, we will be like him, for we will see him as he truly is. That's what you're here for. That's what I'm here for. That's why Christmas truly matters. Because if Jesus did not become man, how could we affirm that one day we will share in his deification? With all of this in mind, listen again to the collect, the prayer with which we began this Mass, that speaks with such eloquence what St. John Paul II said when Jesus is the human face of God and the divine face of man. In our collect, we prayed, O God, who wonderfully created the dignity of human nature and still more wonderfully restored it. Listen to what I'm going to pray now. Grant that we may share in the divinity of Christ. Ah, that's our deification. That is the divine face of man. Because Christ himself humbled himself to share in our humanity. That's the human face of God. So intrigued was this one author by the reality of our deification, an author who had a way of putting things perhaps more clearly than anyone else in the 20th century in the English language, that C.S. Lewis, in an essay he wrote entitled The Eternal Weight of Glory, said the following about our deification. And I quote, it is a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses, to remember that the dullest, most uninteresting person you can talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship, or else a horror and a corruption such as you now meet, if at all, only in your nightmares. All day long, we are in some degree helping each other to one or other of these destinations. It is in the light of these overwhelming possibilities, it is with the awe and the circumspection proper to them that we should conduct all of our dealings with one another. All friendships, all loves, all play, all politics. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal, and their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. But it is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. This, my beloved brothers and sisters, is the message of Christmas. It is this message we celebrate when we rejoice in the event of the Incarnation. For in Jesus, we are invited to gaze on the human face of God. And remarkably, through what Christ has done, we can gaze on one another and see the divine face of man. May you celebrate your deification, and may you have a blessed Christmas.